the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next class, therefore, is, remember, we're talking about the evil spirit. There are so many truths of our faith on which we can and even should learn more about the evil spirit. But I thought I would address myself in this lecture on what St. Ignatius calls the two standards, namely, of Christ and the devil. Those of you who have made the spiritual exercises, especially the 30 days, know that this is one of the key meditations in a 30-day retreat. I will concentrate, for obvious reasons, on the standard of Satan. It will continue till around 4:30, depending on how many questions come in. First, by way of introduction, again, basic to a correct understanding of the spiritual life. And by the way, remember this. In the Catholic vocabulary, the soul animated by sanctifying grace is called spirit. That's the Catholic vocabulary. The soul as animating the body is, well, called the soul. But when the soul itself is animated by the indwelling of the Holy Trinity, then the Church's name for that soul, same soul, and though animated by sanctifying grace, the Church's name is Spirit. Basically, therefore, to the correct understanding of the spiritual life. And by the way, that's what the word spiritual in good Catholic English means. The life of a soul animated by sanctifying grace. Over the years in teaching, especially my own Jesuits, their theology, the most important thing I wanted to know from them when they were examined orally, always oral exams, to know the meaning of words. So basic to a correct understanding of the spiritual life is the fact that the following of Christ is a social venture. We are to go beyond the desire for our own sanctification, to cooperate with grace, then, quoting Ignatius, in propagating his doctrine among all men throughout the world. And that all men is not the feminist definition of men. Oh, how our thinking can be, what verb shall I use? Warped. By ideas that people have. Use the same words, but with different meaning. In other words, the goal of the spiritual life is not just to become holy. Period. No. We are to become holy so that then, but watch it, only then we can be effective channels of God's grace to others. The, capital T, capital H, capital E, the reason why we should be holy is that God might use us to bring other people, whoever enters our life, that we might be channels of grace to other people. We'll be only as effective channels of grace as we ourselves possess God's grace ourselves. Equally basic is a corresponding fact that the evil spirit is active in the world, calling on his followers to operate with him in propagating, change the spelling, propagating his doctrine among all men throughout the world. There are two kinds of doctrine. One doctrine, which is the truth, another doctrine, which is error. And the single most important purpose of the evil spirit is to propagate error. And he's having a holiday, especially with our media. Remember, I've said this, and I'll keep repeating it. Make sure that everyone hears it at least once. I like Marshall McLuhan's definition of the media. The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. New York Times, Chicago Tribune, and, in case nobody told you, the Detroit Free Press. Another newspaper, Detroit News. Now, there is some measure of truth, but how do you find out? In the newspapers or the media? Americans are addicted. Do you know that? Americans are addicts. Addicts of the media. I've said this, I'm never sure whether somebody did not hear this. Remember the study made some years ago in Germany, where the German psychologists thought, they weren't sure, that the media are addictive. Remember? So the German government offered the equivalent of $10,000 in American money to 500 people who could prove they were avid television watchers. And then thousands of people volunteered if for 6 months they would abstain from watching television, they would get $10,000. Thousands of people volunteered. But the government chose only 500. And of course, they were monitored. They couldn't cheat. By the second month, about one third of those 500 couldn't take it anymore. By the fourth month, not one of those 500 people could continue abstaining from television. And some, by the end of the fourth month, had to be institutionalized for psychological disorder. You won't read that in American newspapers. Am I clear? Once you become addicted, well then, by definition, an addiction is to something which is bad for you. Oh, the music will be so enticing. The language, oh, so smooth. The scenery, so beautiful. But the effect on the mind will be whatever the media want. Well, people who watch television to learn. The last figure I have for the United States, the average American watches television 28 hours a week. Those are my figures. And that is why, as I think I've told you, Pope Paul VI appointed Ecumenical Abbot, remember? To do something. That was back in 74, over 20 years ago, to do something to have the Catholic Church get some control of the media. Otherwise, unquote Paul VI, the Pope feared for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. And I'll speak for hours about just that subject. So, evil spirit is using the media. One of my Jesuit students in theology was from Cuba. His father had been a close friend and a member of the government for Castro took over Cuba. So I asked him one day at table, my Jesuit student, how did Fidel Castro succeed in such a short time in convincing the Cuban people, well, to become communists? He smiled and said, two letters, TV. The United States, I repeat, is a nation of addicts. Thanks for being here. Apologies for using that word. I have no choice. The focus of this study is to compare the method used by Christ in organizing his followers with Satan's method in mobilizing his agents. Let me tell you, we've got a lot to learn from the devil. Very intelligent. The devils, whether good angels or the evil spirits, are naturally more intelligent than we human beings. Just naturally more intelligent. And limited to our senses. One of the two standards are commonly associated with the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. They are really part of divine revelation and essential to everyone's Christian spirituality. We'll concentrate on the standard of Satan. First, the language of St. Ignatius. The chief of all the enemy, that's the devil, summons innumerable demons and scatters them, some to one city and some to another, throughout the whole world, let's be sure, including Detroit, Michigan. So that no province, no place, no state of life, no individual is overlooked. Not to know that the devil operates as a closely knit, powerful organization is not to know the fundamentals of Christianity. I'm still quoting from St. Ignatius. He goads them. He goes them on to lay snares. These are the evil spirits for men to seek to chain them. And note the demonic logic. First, they are to tempt them to covet riches, and has seated himself as accustomed to do in most cases. And the riches can be mazuma, money, can be education, can be some skill, whatever. So that they the more easily attain the empty honors of this world and then come to overweening pride. Note the demonic logic. The first step is to acquire whatever this world considers good. Money, education, any kind of training or skill. And, mind you, this is the devil's logic. So that by becoming rich, wealthy, in whatever the person has acquired, which is, well, something which this world considers good. The average college enrollment in the United States and America, annual average is over 5 million Americans are in colleges throughout our country. We are the most educated nation in human history. And so of so many other things of the devil. We're just examining his logic. What's the purpose? That's the demon's purpose. That purpose is to then have people who have acquired whatever they've got, but more than others have, to be recognized, praised, honored by this world. And once a person becomes, shall I use the verb, subject to the adulation of this world, what follows logically? That is a normal bread and butter of pride. Recognition. Praise. Honor. After I finished my theological study, before I went to Rome for my graduate degree, I was in what we call tertianship, before final vows. And during the year, I was given, well, an apostolic job to be chaplain at a penitentiary, a branch of Ohio State Penitentiary outside of Cleveland, where the better behaved major criminals were, well, in prison and were allowed to do certain kind of work, well, to earn money for the government. For a year, I was their chaplain. And, of course, as you would expect, among these criminals would be, well, at least the national average of Catholics. My job was to, on Saturdays, give them instructions, hear their confessions, on Sunday then come in for the Sunday Mass. And these are all major criminals, murderers, just. And by the way, most of them were very young, in their 20s, all Catholics. I could talk for hours about my experience with those criminals. I sat down with them. I never possessed you fellows to commit crimes. Oh, they said, Father, you have no idea. You have no idea what satisfaction you get from seeing your name in the front page of the morning newspaper. I'm quoting. Well, not to spend any more time on that subject. This is the logic of the evil spirit. First, that a person will acquire as much as he or she can of what this world considers good. But notice, the devil's purpose is not to say, well, make more money, get a better job, because I've got a growing family. Follow the logic. The devil's purpose is to acquire, if I use the word inspire people, to acquire as much as they can of whatever this world considers good, so that the person then might be, well, more than just accepted, praised, honored by others. And the more you are honored, the more you are praised, the more you are tempted to what? To pride. This is natural. And the devil knows it. He knows our nature. And then once a person becomes proud, the devil can go on to somebody else. Every proud person is an agent of the devil. Do you hear me? Now this includes all kinds of possessions, including, hear it, spiritual possessions. You mean a person can be proud because he or she is gifted spiritually? Yes. I think I told you about the last conversation I had with this quote mystic in Chicago. The woman had published several books about her mystical experiences. A bishop was endorsing her writings, but she wanted the bishop to give his imprimatur. So the bishop writes to me, I think I told you this. What do you think? Should I give her an imprimatur for her mystical experiences? In the meantime, I had come to know this woman because of other reasons. I investigated this, quotes, mystic's mysticism. A very brilliant woman, a college graduate, smart as a whistle, but she was no mystic. I've read about four or five of her books. Where am I? Upstairs. And this is the great danger with spiritually gifted people. Either they grow in humility, deep, deep humility, in the measure of their spiritual gifts, or they all become agents of the devil. Am I still clear? And the most dangerous people are what I call the false mystics. Fifty years in the priesthood have taught me many things, including what I'm sharing with you. So then, to analyze the devil's logic, the first step will be riches. Whatever those riches mean, not just money. Second step, honor. The third is pride. From these three steps, the evil one leads to all the other vices. And this, in case nobody will tell you, this is the underlying evil of feminism. Am I still clear? And feminism, as I've said more than once, was the great hope of Karl Marx. And women, well, take over society, minus what Marx spent a lifetime telling his followers. Women have been enslaved by men from the dawn of human history. Now, we all know, and men have no monopoly, subjugating others. In any case, this is the devil's strategy. Now, some explanation. The devil's strategy is to get people to become attached to earthly things. He urges those who are to become his followers. And mind you, this is the devil training his leaders. 30 years in working for the Holy See, think I've told you. By now I've been given hundreds of assignments. But they can all be reduced finally to this assignment. Find the believers, train them, and organize them. Find the believers, train them, and organize them. Hope I'm talking to the right audience. And what I'm doing, or trying to do in class, is to train you. Please, God, you will then become leaders. Now, this includes not just you laity, but among the laity, you women. You must become, shall I use the word, agents of Christ. As I've said so often, and sometimes publicly, as I'm saying now, men are no match for women. When it comes to influence, oh, she can be so sweet, so simple. Shall I use the word, but so shrewd. How we need women who have learned the strategy of the evil one. And learn, of course, Christ's method, just to anticipate, because there are so many areas to cover. And we limit ourselves well to just so many minutes of time. Clearly, Christ's method is just the opposite. That does not mean that we do not acquire, say, the things of this world. Clear? But the purpose is to acquire, for example, in my case, I entered the Society of Jesus after 16 years of Catholic education. It was 17 years later I began to teach theology and took my final vows. Over 30 years of education. Talk about a mind loaded with knowledge. But what a difference between loading one's mind with knowledge and remaining, and this is the hard one, remaining humble. That is why God humiliates us. And the more gifted we are, hear it. Take it from a veteran. The more humiliated you're going to be. And God is making no mistakes. Oh, the fools God will make of us to keep us humble. Like, for example, have made a formal, solemn announcement. ONS class is on the 19th of October. Remember? Now I've got to call back Wisconsin. After canceling my lecture in Wisconsin. Pardon me for saying this. One day, I counted the number of humiliations I had had by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 14 humiliations. I stopped counting. Am I making sense? It is not we do not acquire. Our Lady had no illusions about her being the most gifted human person that God ever created. But what a difference between gifted and will and preening oneself. Look at me. And that is why I think I've shared this with you on some occasion. There is one sure way of growing in humility. The moment you find yourself thinking and admiring thought about yourself, cut the thought immediately. Immediately. 2 seconds is too long. In other words, self-admiration is another word for self-adoration. The key to the devil's strategy is to foster attachment to these creatures. All these creaturely possessions. And those possessions can be either in the body. That's amateur pride, by the way. That's cheap pride. The really awe. The professional pride is pride of intellect. Pride of spiritual gifts. As I've told the missionaries of charity over the years, sisters, as you know, they are forbidden to have mirrors in their convents. Tell them, sisters, it really doesn't make much difference. The most dangerous mirror in our lives is our own minds. You're looking into a blank wall, eyes closed. What a beautiful sight. Admiring you-know-whom. And thus, a person might receive praise and recognition from people. They want it. Is there anything wrong with getting recognition? No, provided. But what an important proviso, provided that recognition is not to be praised by others, but to bring them closer to Christ. I think I told you about the 3-day debate that I had with an atheist, Ann Arbor, University of Michigan. And being a Krishna, I thought he should speak first. Hear the first talk. Then, when I had a chance, I spoke next. Some 2,000 students. Dr. Van Buren, that was his name. I hope you won't disappoint me. I've yet to hear a really intelligent defense of atheism. I sure hope you won't disappoint me and this audience. The poor fellow. By the second day, I have to say this, his mind was no match for this, shall I say it, over-educated Jesuit. The poor fellow, he never thought through his atheism. And thus, through recognition, praise, acceptance from others, then a person becomes what? Proud. Why are people proud? Because, well, they get recognition. Nobody envies a failure. I tell you about the sermon, homily that one of our Jesuits gave, remember, to the whole Jesuit community, some 200 of us, was in southern Ohio. We were trained after our first vows to give homilies, a 20-minute homily on a Sunday, noon meal. Some 200 Jesuits in the audience, all eating. And this scholastic is to give a homily. Of course, his voice was amplified. He'd be heard over the noise of the clatter of dishes. Giving a homily. I told you this, didn't I? He began his homily by saying, he asked a question. Who is the most unpopular girl on a college campus? We all stopped eating. Here's a celibate Jesuit scholastic talking to his fellow Jesuits. Does he know whom he's talking to? Talk about a girl on a college campus. So we all stopped eating. He better give the right answer. Remember? And then, after he began his homily, the most unpopular girl on a college campus is a girl who has just won the popularity contest. And how well the cosmetic industry understands this. The figure now is about $15 billion spent on cosmetics every year in the United States. So, to acquire as much of what the world admires as we can, well, what other purpose? To be admired. Once he purposes and becomes a victim of pride, that person is led by the devil to all other vices. And this, in teaching my Jesuits for a quarter century, their theology, above average intelligence, all of them, I tell them, You're not homilies. This is a part of class. Look, you fellows, the more knowledge you acquire, the more gifted you are mentally, the more you must continue growing in humility. And this is the bottom line of the devil's strategy in the world today. And he is phenomenally successful, especially among the hierarchy and priests. Now, explanation. A proud person or proud people are the agents of the devil. This is an article of the faith. He, that's the devil, uses such people in the measure of their pride to seduce others. In fact, he uses them to work with him and under his demonic power. When I went to Rome for my graduate degree in theology, after ordination, I have planned to write my doctoral thesis on the two mystical bodies in the world, the mystical body of Christ and the mystical body of Satan. But having just so much time assigned by my superiors, 2 years, to write the doctoral thesis, the subject which I have planned to write on was so immense that I was dissuaded by my director of the thesis to write instead on the salvation of non-Catholics as my doctoral thesis, ever published as a book. I just love non-Catholics. And of course, you love a person in the measure that you want to help them. And they need help. But, however, there is, therefore, and this is the Church's teaching. Not only has Christ organized what we call his mystical body, which is his church, but the evil spirit has also organized his followers. And the principal society which the devil has used over the centuries is the state. Do you hear me? Don't misunderstand me. The state is not qua state demonic. But the devil has been using the state from when? From the first Good Friday. Those who hated Christ and wanted him put to death, remember, were his own chosen people. Because this so-called Messiah, disappointed them. They were expecting Messiah who would be, a leader, a Nero, an Attila, and Napoleon. Oh, no. Sure, this Jesus of Nazareth called himself a Messiah. Sure, he had crowds following him. Sure, he worked miracles. But hear it. So what? Mesmerized by pride, I mean the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. The final decision Christ's enemies made, this man must die, remember, was, as described by St. John, as soon as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Pharisees met and decided, that's enough. This man must die. Otherwise, hear it. Otherwise, the whole world will follow him. And then, what will happen? What will happen to the dream Israel, which the Pharisees, I repeat, scribes and Sadducees, expected the true Messiah in their judgment to produce a powerful nation that would dominate the world? And right after the raising of Lazarus from the dead, then St. John soon after enters the narrative of Christ's passion. The devil knows. You feed pride on recognition. And you feed recognition, well, by acquiring whatever you can acquire. And some people don't have, well, much talent, almost anything. Don't worry.